This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Toxic traits versus mental illness. What you need to know before drawing conclusions. How to tell the difference before you cause real harm. In short, toxic traits involve chosen harmful behaviour patterns, while mental illness is a clinical condition that requires professional treatment, not a character judgment. Toxic traits can be changed with awareness, effort, and accountability. Mental illness is a diagnosis, not a personality failing. Confusing the two causes real harm to the person you're judging and to yourself. Definition: toxic traits versus mental illness is a distinction between deliberate harmful behavior patterns and clinically recognized psychological conditions. Toxic traits involve choices a person makes, often at cost to others. Mental illness is a medical reality that requires proper diagnosis and professional care. You watched a colleague systematically undermine every person who threatened their standing. You thought to yourself, maybe they're not well. You softened your response. You stayed quiet. Later, you discovered they had done the same to three people before you, each time with precision, each time with plausible deniability. The kindness you extended cost you something real. Understanding the difference between toxic traits and mental illness is not an academic exercise. It shapes how you protect yourself, how you treat others fairly, and whether you accidentally excuse harm or unfairly stigmatize someone who's genuinely struggling. The cost of getting this wrong runs in both directions. By the end of this, you will know exactly when to apply each concept and what each one actually requires from you. What toxic traits really mean in practice. A toxic trait is a consistent, harmful behavior pattern that a person can, with effort and accountability, choose to change. These are not occasional bad days. They are recurring ways of engaging with others that cause damage, chronic manipulation, deliberate undermining, persistent dishonesty to protect self-interest, or a habitual lack of empathy when empathy would cost them something. The pattern matters more than any single incident. Here is a scenario I have seen more than once. A team leader always praised their people's work in private, but took credit in meetings with senior management. When challenged, they expressed surprise and hurt, as though the accusation was absurd. Yet the pattern repeated, without variation, for years. That is not confusion. That is a toxic trait operating with consistency. What toxic traits require is accountability. They require the person displaying them to see their impact, own the choice, and commit to genuine change. Without that, the pattern continues. If you are navigating a team where these behaviours are causing harm, the article on how unmet needs drive team conflict and what to say to restore synergy may give you a useful parallel lens. What mental illness really means in practice. Mental illness is a clinically recognized condition affecting how a person thinks, feels, or behaves, rooted in neurological, psychological, or biological factors. It is not a character flaw. It is not a choice. Conditions like depression, bipolar disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety, or personality disorders are real medical realities that affect how a person experiences and responds to the world. Symptoms often cause as much distress to the person living with them as to those around them. Consider someone with severe anxiety. They cancel plans, struggle to respond to messages, withdraw during high-pressure periods. From the outside, this can look like avoidance, indifference, or even passive aggression. But the behavior is not chosen for effect. It is driven by an internal state the person may desperately wish they could control. Mental illness requires professional support, accurate diagnosis, appropriate treatment, and often, sustained care over time. It deserves compassion, not a label that adds to the shame already attached to so many conditions. The article on what is psychological safety and how it drives team synergy is worth reading if you manage a team where you suspect a team member is struggling with something beyond behavior. The key differences side by side. Dimension: toxic traits, mental illness. Origin: chosen behavioral patterns, clinical psychological condition. Agency: person can change, with effort requires professional treatment. Consistency: selective, often strategic, present across contexts, regardless of gain. Impact on the person often benefits them at others' expense, typically distressing to the person themselves. Path forward: accountability and behavioral change. Diagnosis, therapy, medical care. How to respond: clear boundaries, direct consequences, compassion, support, professional referral. Common mistake: excusing toxic traits as illness, labeling illness symptoms as character flaws. The dimension of agency is the most important one to understand. Toxic traits, even deeply ingrained ones, exist within a person's capacity to address. They may not change, but they can. Mental illness sits outside that frame. You cannot will your way out of clinical depression any more than you can will your way out of a broken bone. Consistency across contexts is your clearest signal in practice. A person who manipulates only when there is something to gain and stops when it stops serving them is displaying a toxic trait. A person whose symptoms show up regardless of the situation, including when they clearly suffer for it, is more likely navigating a genuine condition. The path forward differs fundamentally. Toxic traits call for accountability conversations, clear consequences, and firm limits. Mental illness calls for compassion, professional support, and a very different kind of boundary. One is about changing behaviour. The other is about accessing care. Where toxic traits and mental illness overlap, these two things are connected. Sometimes they exist in the same person, and sometimes one feeds the other. A person living with an untreated personality disorder may develop manipulative coping strategies over years. Those strategies can begin as adaptive responses to genuine suffering, but over time they calcify into harmful patterns. The toxic trait grew from the illness, but it now operates with its own momentum. The reverse is also true. Someone displaying chronic toxic traits, such as control, cruelty, or persistent dishonesty, may eventually develop anxiety or depression as a consequence of the interpersonal chaos they create. Cause and effect blur. Then there is the grey area of certain personality disorders. Narcissistic personality disorder and antisocial personality disorder sit at the intersection of clinical diagnosis and harmful behaviour. These are real conditions, but their symptoms often present as the very traits most people would label toxic: lack of empathy, manipulation, disregard for others. Both the clinical reality and the behavioural impact are true at the same time. If you are managing behaviour that consistently disrupts a team, the article on scripts for addressing team members who are undermining group synergy may help you navigate the conversation, regardless of whether the root cause is a trait or a condition. The overlap is real, but knowing the difference still matters. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. When to focus on toxic traits. Focus on toxic traits when the behaviour is clearly chosen, consistent, and self-serving, with little sign of personal distress. When the behaviour shifts depending on the audience. If someone is dismissive with peers, but charming with senior leaders, that selectivity points to a trait, not a condition. Mental illness does not perform for an audience. When the person shows no apparent distress, toxic traits often leave the person displaying them relatively comfortable. The people around them carry the cost. If you see no evidence of personal suffering, the lens of toxic behaviour is more appropriate. When accountability conversations produce defensiveness, but no change, a person with a toxic trait may acknowledge the behaviour briefly and revert. This is not illness. It is a pattern that has not been challenged with enough consistency or consequence. When the behaviour has a clear target, toxic traits often have a logic to them. If you can identify who benefits and who suffers, and the pattern holds over time, you're looking at a behavioural choice. When the behaviour has been addressed before by others, if multiple people across different settings have raised the same concern with this person, that history matters. Using the mental illness lens here lets harmful behaviour continue without consequence. That is a cost the people around this person cannot keep absorbing. For situations where these traits manifest as passive aggression, the article on how to address passive aggressive behaviour that silently eroding team synergy gives you a practical framework. When to focus on mental illness. Focus on the mental illness lens when behaviour appears involuntary, distressing to the person themselves, and inconsistent with any strategic gain. When the person is visibly suffering, if someone appears exhausted, frightened, or genuinely distressed by their own behaviour, that is a signal. Toxic traits really come with that kind of personal cost. When the behaviour appears across all contexts, not just useful ones. Anxiety does not take a day off when the person wants to make a good impression. If you see the same pattern regardless of what is at stake, that consistency points toward a condition. When a person has disclosed a diagnosis or is actively seeking help, take that seriously. People do not typically seek therapy for toxic traits they are comfortable with. Seeking help is evidence of suffering. When the behavior is accompanied by other signs of distress, watch for changes in energy, concentration, sleep patterns, or social withdrawal. These often accompany clinical conditions, not deliberate character choices. When your instinct says this person is struggling, not calculating, 60 years of watching people in difficult situations has taught me that the gut knows the difference between cruelty and pain. Trust that instinct, then pair it with action. Here, a boundary conversation without compassion causes harm. The right response is to encourage professional support, not to issue an ultimatum about character. The article on how the amygdala hijacks sabotages feedback conversations is worth reading before you have any high-stakes conversation with someone in this situation. Common confusions and how to resolve them. Let me walk you through the three confusions I see most often. The confusion: assuming that because someone has been diagnosed with a mental illness, their harmful behavior is untouchable. Why it happens. We do not want to be cruel to someone who is struggling, so we extend a blanket pass to everything they do. The resolution: a diagnosis explains the context for some behavior. It does not excuse all behavior. You can hold compassion and clear limits at the same time, and doing so is fairer to everyone, including the person with the diagnosis. The confusion: calling someone toxic because they make you uncomfortable or act in ways you do not understand. Why it happens. We reach for the word toxic when we feel frustrated or hurt, without examining whether the behavior is actually harmful or simply unfamiliar. The resolution: toxic traits cause consistent, measurable harm to others. Discomfort alone is not sufficient evidence. Ask yourself whether you can identify a pattern of deliberate harm, and whether others have experienced the same thing. If you cannot, pause before drawing conclusions. The confusion: assuming that someone who does not change after one conversation simply lacks the will. Why it happens. We expect change to follow insight, so we interpret the absence of change as proof of bad character. The resolution: both toxic traits and mental illness can be resistant to change for very different reasons. A toxic trait resists change because it serves the person. A mental illness resists change because it requires clinical intervention. Knowing which you are dealing with changes your entire approach. Check whether the behavior is self-serving or self-destructive, and respond accordingly. The article on what is the amygdala hijack and how it silently blocks team synergy can also help you understand why even well-intentioned conversations sometimes go wrong in these situations. Once you see this clearly, you will not confuse them again. Practical recommendations by situation. Here is how to decide which one to focus on based on your situation. If you are a manager dealing with repeated harmful behavior from one team member, start by documenting the pattern, who is affected, what happened, and when. Ask yourself whether this person appears to benefit from the behavior or to suffer from it. If the answer is benefit, apply a direct, consequences-based conversation. The article on common communication mistakes that quietly destroy team synergy gives you specific language for that conversation. If you're a colleague who suspects someone is struggling with something deeper than behavior, do not diagnose. Your job is not to identify the condition. Your job is to protect yourself and, where appropriate, to point the person toward professional support. Stay kind, stay clear about your limits, and avoid making the relationship your personal rehabilitation project. If you are trying to understand your own patterns, this much I know for certain: we are all capable of toxic traits under enough pressure or fear. The question is whether those patterns are occasional responses to stress, or whether they have become your default way of operating. If the second, honest reflection and the courage to seek feedback are the places to start. If you are in a team where both seem present, you may be dealing with one person whose mental illness produces harmful coping strategies that affect others. In that case, compassion and limits are not opposites. Hold both. Encourage professional help while being clear about what you will not absorb. If you simply do not know which applies, stop trying to label it and start focusing on the impact. You can name what you experience, set limits around it, and seek support without having to correctly diagnose the other person first. Knowing the difference is useful. Certainty is not always available. Recognizing that these two things are not the same, and that each deserves a different response, is itself a meaningful step forward. Key takeaways. Here is what matters most from this comparison. Toxic traits are chosen, consistent, and self-serving patterns of harmful behavior. Mental illness is a clinical condition requiring professional care, not a character verdict. The most reliable signal is whether the behaviour benefits the person displaying it. Toxic traits usually do. Mental illness symptoms usually do not. Both can exist in the same person, and one can contribute to the other over time. That complexity does not excuse harm or remove the need for limits. Accountability is the right response to toxic traits. Compassion and professional referral are the right responses to mental illness. These are not interchangeable approaches. You do not need to correctly diagnose someone to protect yourself. Focus on their impact, set clear boundaries, and encourage support where it is needed. The toxic traits versus mental illness distinction is not a weapon to wield. It is a framework for responding more fairly and more effectively to the difficult people in your life. If you found this useful, the articles on how to address passive-aggressive behaviour that's silently eroding team synergy and how unmet needs drive team conflict and what to say to restore synergy will give you practical tools for the conversations that follow from this clarity. Frequently asked questions. What is the difference between toxic traits versus mental illness? Toxic traits are patterns of harmful behaviour that a person can choose to change with awareness and effort. Mental illness is a clinical condition rooted in neurological or psychological factors that requires professional treatment. The core difference lies in agency, diagnosis, and the path to change. Can a person have both toxic traits and a mental illness? Yes, and this is one of the most common sources of confusion. Someone can live with a diagnosed condition and still display chosen harmful behaviours that exist separately from the diagnosis. Addressing one does not automatically resolve the other, and both deserve separate consideration. How do you identify toxic traits versus a mental health condition? Look at consistency and context. Toxic traits tend to appear selectively, often when there is something to gain. Mental illness symptoms typically emerge across all situations, including when the person has nothing to benefit from. A clinical diagnosis requires professional assessment, not personal observation. Is it wrong to call someone toxic if they have a mental illness? It can be deeply unfair. Many mental health conditions carry stigma already, and mislabeling symptoms as toxic traits adds to that burden. Before drawing conclusions, ask whether the behaviour is chosen and consistent with the person gaining something, or whether it appears involuntary and distressing to them. Can toxic traits develop from untreated mental illness? They can, but the relationship is not automatic. Untreated conditions sometimes lead to harmful coping strategies that look like toxic traits from the outside. The key is that those coping strategies may still be addressable through treatment, while deliberate toxic behaviour requires a different kind of accountability conversation. What should you do if you cannot tell whether someone has toxic traits versus mental illness? Stop trying to diagnose. Your job is to assess the impact on you and others, set clear boundaries around that impact, and encourage professional support. You can protect yourself from harmful behaviour without needing to correctly label its origin. Clarity about impact matters more than certainty about cause. Understanding the toxic traits versus mental illness distinction is useful, but it is not a prerequisite for protecting yourself and acting with integrity. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.